been faithful in giving. I'm just in awe of all the faithfulness of the saints of God. And I know God will bless you and bless us corporately for all of our efforts here in this situation. Let's pray together. Lord, we need you tonight more than anything. God, we need your presence. We need your power. We need your touch. We need your word to burn in our hearts, Lord, to change us, mold us, and make us. Anoint your word tonight. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I want to thank everyone who's here for the first time or even the second or third time. And we'd like for you to like us or to share us on Facebook. And just a reminder, 9 o'clock Sunday morning is Sunday School Puppets on Facebook Live at New Life Tabernacle. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the morning service message. And we'd love to have you come and join us, get some friends, invite them over to the house, and let's enjoy the Word of God together. Amen. I want to go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 25 tonight. And we have talked about the day of Pentecost and the birthday of the church some here in the last few services or sermons. And this goes right along with it, Acts chapter 2 and verse 25 through verse 28. And Peter is preaching here. And he says, "For David speaketh concerning him," that would be concerning Jesus Christ, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand." This is Jesus speaking of his Father. "That I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Beautiful scripture here. The Apostle Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost came, and we've talked about that already. And the Spirit of God was poured out in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. And this was the birthday of the New Testament church. And as they praised God and as they spoke in tongues and they worshiped the Lord, the noise got around and people began to gather around and look in. And they could not figure out what was going on in this situation. For 3 solid hours, from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock in the morning, they were speaking in tongues the wonderful works of God, and crowds came and they looked in the windows and they said, "What does this mean?" And some were mocking and said, "These are full of new wine," or "They're having a drunken party." And so the Apostle Peter stood up. He understood that these were Jews that he was preaching to or going to preach to. And he stood up and began to make some sense out of what was taking place here. And to understand a little bit about this, we need to see that he was reaching back to the Old Testament scriptures and reaching back to the book of Psalms is what he quoted here, Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. And he reached back to the book of Psalms to try to convince them that were present there at that time what they were witnessing was a result of Old Testament prophecy. Not only did he reach back to Psalm chapter 16, but he also reached back to Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and other verses as well. And he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he quoted Psalm chapter 16 and verses 8 through 11. And he says here, "David spake concerning him." And I would like to read Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. It's a little bit different, but it's very close to what the Apostle Peter quoted. "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And what I want to bring to our attention tonight, if you want to put a title on this, I would like to call it Resting in Hope. We must have hope if we're going to fulfill the will of God in our lives. He said, my flesh shall also rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so when we look at Psalm chapter 16 in relationship to Acts chapter 2 and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we can develop a strong sense of hope in our lives. In a day when we need hope, there is hope to be found in Jesus Christ. And this thing called hope, or this thing that is rest, that is within hope, is very important to us. And when we look at the life of Jesus, actually, Peter was quoting and David was prophesying about Jesus Christ, and he experienced all of the passions that we experience because he was a man. He was a man and he was God at the same time. And it tells us that he experienced some things, and I want to look at some of the things that Jesus Christ experienced to lead us up to a foundation to have hope in. In the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus is speaking here, and he said unto them, I beheld, Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That's a very interesting scripture there when you begin to look at it, and it talks about reveal or revelation. And what we need today is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And he said that no man knows the Father except the Son would reveal him unto him. And so what we see in Jesus Christ is the revelation of God Almighty, a revelation of who God is in the person or the body of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at it here in verse 18, he said, I beheld Satan falling from heaven as lightning. And then he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. And so we understand tonight that the Lord has power and authority over demon spirits. He has power and authority over all the forces of hell. In fact, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And then he said, I give unto you. And so it's not just God's power, but it is the power that he has given to us in the Holy Ghost. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And then he goes a step further, and he says, notwithstanding, we're going to set that aside for a moment, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, that your names are written in heaven. And so we have authority over all the works of the enemy. And not only that, we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we have been buried in His name by baptism, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life through the born-again experience found in John chapter 3, verse 5. And then it says, almost as though He is building up to this, it says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And He goes on with other words there. What I want to focus our attention tonight is that Jesus understood gladness. He understood what it was to be glad in His spirit and in His heart. When you look at the word, rejoiced in spirit here, it literally means that Jesus leaped for joy. He literally leaped for joy. It's kind of hard for us to comprehend that God manifest in the flesh, but He was so excited about the things that were going to come. If you please, He had such tremendous hope in His heart that when He began to think about the things that God had blessed Him with and the things that God had blessed the church with and the results of Calvary, when He understood all of these things, it was just too much. He had to leap for joy. I'm not going to try to do that tonight. I'd probably have to go to the chiropractor tomorrow if the chiropractor is even going to be open. But He leaped for joy. He could do this because He had hope. And hope is something that is down deep inside of our heart. And the heart can be filled with hope, or as far as the scripture says, it can be sick. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2. It talks about hope here. And it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So hope deferred. The word deferred there means to prolong or to put aside or to delay. And so when we hope in something, when we desire something, and it doesn't happen that as fast as we want it to happen, that's what the scripture is calling hope deferred. And if we allow it to get into our heart, it says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Brand new things begin to come out on the branches. And it's a brand new life. What we need is a heart that is filled with hope. Thank God for hope today. And if we go back to Psalms chapter 16 and verses 8 through 11, he said, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. Now this is speaking about Jesus and also talking about what is available to you and I. And it says that his glory rejoiceth. And this speaks of outward praising God and thanking God for what He's doing. When the heart is brightened up, when it is filled with gladness and brightened up, it will praise and thank the Lord. And I don't know about you. I think I do know about all of you. We can't wait to get back to the house of God and worship the Lord and run the aisles and shout and praise God and come to the altar and seek the face of God. There's just something about corporate worship and praise unto the Lord that is so very, very awesome. And you're welcome to come when we are able to do that. And I think it's going to be very soon. And when the heart is brightened up, it will praise and thank the Lord. When our heart is brightened up, we will say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I will declare His name among the people. I will declare His goodness in the sanctuary. But until we're able to come back together, my glory is going to rejoice in the Lord. Jesus rejoiced in his glory. And there, in other words, there was never a word out of the Savior's mouth that condemned or criticized his Father's leadership in his life, even though he knew that the Father's leadership was going to lead him to Calvary. But he also understood the end result of Calvary. And so he experienced gladness, and his glory rejoiced. Then it says he experienced resting in hope. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, is resting in hope. The word hope here means expectation. In both the Greek and the Hebrew, it means confidence. And so Jesus Christ rested in confidence. He rested in an expectation of good things to come. And for all of the church, there are good things that are coming. There are great things that are coming in the future for everyone that will serve the Lord. You could say amen to that. And this relationship that Jesus had with the Father, or with his Father, was such that it gave him an unshakable hope for his future. He lived with that hope in his heart. He was resting in his hope. And he learned how to do that. When we look at the experiences of the human framework, we can understand that Jesus experienced the same things that we do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." We're hoping, we're believing God for something in the future. "Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity." And there's the three things: faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so when you look at the three experiences, the three spiritual experiences that we can become a part of and hold on to, we have faith and we have charity, and sandwiched in between the two of them is hope. Amen. Thank God for hope today. Through faith, we please God. You can find that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so through faith, we please God. And through love, we draw near to God and to others. So we have faith that pleases God on one side. We have love that draws near to God on the other. And in the middle of the two, we have hope. We have a great hope tonight, church. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, how can I develop this resting in hope even when things are not going like they should? We are human, and we get disturbed about things, and we worry about things, and we're anxious about things. Every prophet in the Scriptures, every person that's ever been born, deals with these kinds of emotions, and Jesus Christ dealt with them as well. But Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5, he talks about faith and hope. And so let's look at it here. And here's how we can develop a resting in hope. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." I'm just going to stop there for just a moment. Excuse me. It says we have access by faith into his grace. God's grace can help us through anything, and it will help us through anything. But he goes on and he says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." That's a hard one right there. That's one of the hardest scriptures you'll find in the Bible. that we glory in tribulations, that we are thankful for our tribulations, and it's not because of what is going on at the moment, but it is what is going to happen as a result of our tribulation. And the Bible says, knowing that tribulation works patience. So we must go through some tribulation, and as we wait on God to hear and answer our prayers, we develop patience. Thank God for patience. And then it says, patience makes experience. Patience leads us to experience. In other words, when we wait on God and we pray and we seek His face and God answers our prayer, after a while we have the experience that God is going to do it. It really develops into faith. But I would like to go a little bit further than just faith. I would like to say tonight that it goes to knowledge. Faith is what we have in the beginning of our walk with God and what we have through our entire walk with God. But there is something about it. Faith turns into knowledge. I know that God is going to help me. I've seen it before. He's done it many times, and He's going to do it again. I'm going to have patience. I'm going to have patience as a result of my tribulation, and my patience will produce experience. And experience produces hope. We can't have hope without patience and without experience and without tribulations. It's all a big part of living for God and walking with God. And he goes on and he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so first there must be patience or waiting on God, and then through patience we gain experience over time when God hears and answers our prayers. And only through these two things, but through these two things, we can come to the place where I can say, I have hope. I have a great hope. I'm resting in that hope. I'm not hoping one day and not hoping another, but I have hope. I'm resting in hope. Jesus Christ rested in hope because he understood these things. Are you disturbed tonight by the present world situation? Well, I think all of us are. Do you fear the outcome of it all? I think that probably all of us have a certain amount of that. I heard just today that the state of New York, which is the probably most populous state in the country, is on the verge of bankruptcy and are looking for a bailout. We are literally living with a bubble of debt that is about to burst, and God help us when it does, because there is going to be much problems in our land. But what do we do? What do we do as Christians? Well, there are some things we can't do. I can't bail out New York. I can't help in the situation. The president hasn't called and asked me for my advice, but I'll tell you what, there is something that we need to develop in our life, and that is a resting in God. Be patient and watch God bless your faith in Him. And in time, you'll be able to say, God did it for me. He can do it for you. And so what we need to do is just rest in hope. Rest in the hope that we have of the future. It brought Jesus Christ through the tribulation and through the troubles and the trials of Calvary. And he looked ahead and he saw the joy that was set before him. And because of that joy, he endured the cross and suffered the shame. Praise God for a hope today. We are not people that don't have hope. Scripture says if we have no hope, we are of all men most miserable. But we are not miserable tonight. We're excited about serving God and living for God. Amen. Before we finish tonight, I would like to call some names out in prayer. Brother Robert Tucker, we really need to pray for him, and for obvious reasons. I'd like for us to remember Abigail in prayer tonight, all of our elderly, and those that are shut in. We want to pray for them and ask the Lord to help them. And if you have a need tonight, just call that need out to God when we pray, and I know the Lord will hear your prayer and answer your prayer. Can we pray together right now? Lord, we thank you one more time for this opportunity to come together to hear the Word of God, to focus upon your will for our lives. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to rest in the hope that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered the shame. I thank you tonight for touching these people that we have called out by name. Brother Tucker, we pray for Michelle tonight. We pray for Annette tonight. We pray for all of our elderly, that your hand would be on them for protection and that your grace would cover them. And we ask it tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe you could give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy to us. In Jesus' name. God bless you. And 9 o'clock Sunday morning, Sunday school, puppets, and all the fun that they're having. Last week they balanced, I believe, about 10 nails on the top of another nail. And it was pretty exciting. I told Charlie before they started, I said, "You can't do that. It's impossible." But it wasn't impossible, and he did it. And who knows what's going to come this Sunday at 9 o'clock. And then 10 o'clock Sunday morning is our morning message. And we'll be letting everyone know when we're ready to have services again. God bless you, and may the Lord be with you and protect you the rest of this week and bring us back on Sunday. Amen, in Jesus' name.